Assalamu alaikum. Good afternoon, everyone. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, Sister Alia, for inviting me to this beautiful, beautiful place. I first came when it was inaugurated many years ago, when I lived just down the road. Thank you. When Sister Alia asked me to speak on the subject matter, my knees gave away. How does one who's not an academic, who's not a scholar, speak on such an important topic as prophecies, prophets? How does one do that? And although I said yes to Sister, I had sleepless nights. But then I realized that prophets and prophecies are here, came not just for scholars and academics. They came for people like me, small grassroots people. If we did not understand the prophets, if we did not understand the prophecies, how could we possibly live our lives? Prophets gave a message, and prophecies are living today. They have to, and I think our friend at the church said this morning, the prophecies continue, and I agree, they have to continue. We also have to understand that prophets speak to many communities. Same prophets, same prophecies can speak to many communities, many individuals. But I want to contextualize my brief so let's take a few minutes to explain. My colleague here has just explained I work for an Anglican cathedral, and you must be thinking, well, what's a Muslim woman doing in an Anglican cathedral? I started working at Blackburn Cathedral 9 years ago to develop conversations on subjects that sometimes people shy away from. Interreligious conversation, and not necessarily theological and academic perspective, but rather more from the lived experience of everyday Islam and in the lives of Muslims and how this may impact the wider communities. My journey to the cathedral began 10 years ago when I met Canon Chris Chivers, who is now the principal of Westcott College, Cambridge. He and I worked at the cathedral for 10 years developing conversation between the two religious communities in Lancashire. My last work with him was in Zanzibar, South Africa, Sri Lanka, where we looked at the challenges faced by minority faith communities. And it was during this work, which has been translated into 30 letters, which Chris wrote in a form of writing letters to his son, which brought out prophets and prophecies. And I, as a Muslim, responded to those letters every day during the time of Advent, which starts on the 28th of November last year, which started on the 28th of November last year. You can still download some of those from US, or what was formerly known as USPG. When I was responding to Chris's letters, I realized that while we often talk about prophets and their impact on our daily lives, we need to bring their lives very much into our own lives. How do we do that? And I've chosen to look at three prophets, very briefly. Prophet Zechariah, Prophet John the Baptist, or Yahya, and Prophet Jonah, Yunus. How these prophets have and do impact our lives, and will do the same for forthcoming generations, whether we are Christians or Muslims, Shia or Sunni, because for each we are the different community. As a Sunni, I am the other for my Shia friends. For my Christian friends, I'm a Muslim, I'm the other. So there's always the other. It's how we perceive the other. Now, Prophet Zechariah, peace be upon him, you know, both Christians and Muslims recognize, and it's one of his, during his visits to the temple, when he goes and checks on Hazrat Maryam or Mary, mother of Jesus. And you know, she's there, reflecting, worshiping, but she's also eating out of season fruit. And Zechariah is quite overwhelmed, and he said, you know, where'd you get these from then? They didn't have freezers in those days. But it was his disbelief, but it was Mary's response. Spontaneously, she said, but why are you so surprised? God provides. Why are you so surprised? And it's that surprise that is quite intense, because we have to think out of the box that God can do anything. He goes back and he prays to God for a son, for heritage, for continuity. Because for him, he's old. His wife is barren. How can they have children? Why would you ask for something which you think is impossible? That's where faith kicks in, that God can do anything. That's when he gets down and said, okay, I want one too. I'm sure that's not what he said, but here we are. I want. And it's this belief that prophecy continues, that God can do anything. And in this day and age, when violence on our streets, violence between faiths, when religion is in more or less competition with aggressive secularism, that faith needs to kick in, that God can make things better. For me, as a grassroots woman, that's what prophecy does. And I think Zechariah follows beautifully to prophet Yahya, John the Baptist. And I love John the Baptist. I love him because he stood up for what he believed in, even though he knew that it would cost him his life. And the incident, of course, that I'm referring to is, I was reading Ibn Kathir on prophet Yahya, and there's a verse which is, I'll read it to you. A conflict took place between John the Baptist and the authorities at the time, and we know what that conflict was. It was the tyrant king, Herod Antipas, the ruler of Palestine, who was, of course, fallen in love with his niece. Now, Prophet Yahya, alayhi salam, John the Baptist said, well, no, hold on, this cannot happen. It's incestuous. It's not going to happen. He knew what that meant. When you challenge authority at that level, there's a price to pay. And he paid the price. We know that. His head was presented on a silver platter. And this reminded me, how does it relate to me? It relates to me in this day, in this age, in this my country, when a friend of mine was arrested and imprisoned for 3 years at Guantanamo Bay. He was tortured, he was waterboarded. What was his crime? Because he wanted to speak for justice. He was discharged after 3 years without any explanation, without any apology. This friend of mine did not stop when he was released. You would think that he would shut up, sit somewhere in the corner, and get on with life. But that's not what prophecies teach us. And this is not certainly what Prophet Yahya, John the Baptist, was teaching. Justice must be done. He came back and he challenged authority again to say, no, torture has to stop. In 2014, he's rearrested again, held for 8 months in Belmarsh. Again, 4 days before the trial, all charges are dropped. He's released. No apology, no explanation. And I often used to think, I remember writing to him at Belmarsh, that patience and sabr. And for me, this is the prophet. This is what I'm learning. This is where prophecies continues. And lastly, but not leastly, of course, is Jonah, or Yunus. I think I relate a little bit to my prophet because he gets angry, and I've been called an angry woman. He becomes angry with his people because they won't listen to him. He feels dejected, rejected. I read somewhere that he only got 3 conversions over a period of many years. Conversion to believing in the unseen God. But of course, we all know what happened to Jonah, don't we? You know, he gets angry. He said, right, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. He leaves. God's saying to him, you're going that way. He said, okay, I'll go that way instead. And he walks away. Gets onto the boat. Is thrown overboard, swallowed by the fish. Thinks he's died. Of course, he hasn't. Spent 3 days in the belly of the whale or the fish. Reflecting, what does he do? He realizes what he did was wrong. We human beings do make mistakes, but there is a way to make tawbah. Repent. Reflect. And Jonah does that. He comes back. Of course, you know, he goes back and he preaches. I don't want to go into the whole story because we're all aware what happened. I want to look at what he does for us. For me, that's very much prophecy living in our daily lives. That yes, we're humans. We will make mistakes. We do make mistakes. But we repent. We ask for forgiveness. We don't make the same mistakes again. And we work. And in this day and age, as I said earlier, when it's so easy to pick up a weapon, so easy to demonize a whole community, so easy to bow down to tyrants. Because life is so much simpler, isn't it, when we say, yes, yes, yes. So much simpler and easy. And I think about my work in the past 9 years. I've had to use all these 3 people in my life. Because I was rejected, not only by some members of my own community, but the Christians thought I wanted to make everybody into a Muslim, and the Muslim thought, oh no. What, you know, have we lost? Have we lost? Some of them probably thought, well, great, we got rid of her at last. Did I feel dejected? Of course I did. I've never had a single Muslim leader come to me in the past 9 years, ever, to pick up the phone and say, do you need any help? I felt dejected. What did my prophet, Yahya, do? I went back to him. No, I will not feel rejected. I will get over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works mysteriously that today, I'm sitting and telling you the story. So I think prophecies do live on, must live on, have to live on. Prophecies cannot die. Thank you so much. And this is the first time that I finish without being told to finish. Thank you. Jazakallah khair.